Welcome to Windy City Sports Talk, Chicagoland's number one podcast for all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, and White Sox. This podcast features exclusive news and expert analysis from well-known Chicago sports reporters and broadcasters. You will also feel the passion and emotions during conversations with other diehard sports fans. Other unique sports topics such as virtual reality and video games are explored as well. It's now time to talk Windy City Sports. Hello and welcome back to Windy City Sports Talk. I know football season is in full swing, but I need to finally spend some time talking about the eventful offseason the Bulls had. Actually, scratch that word out, eventful, and replace it with successful, or maybe the word impactful. Anyways, it was a great offseason for the Bulls, and one of my favorite people is joining the podcast yet again today to discuss the new look Bulls, and that is my good friend Zach Kyleman, ladies and gentlemen. Zach, glad to have you on again. How have you been?
I'm doing great. Just hanging in there, staying busy with my own projects on my side. But, you know, in terms of anything and all things Chicago sports, I'm all right. The Bulls are giving me at least something to fall back on if I, you know, if the Bears don't pick things up. And of course the Cubs, I already know they're going down back to the old path. That was several years prior, pre-2015. I'm expecting what I used to know from Chicago, but the Bulls, I'm liking it. I got some good vibes coming out of there. It feels great to say that after so much media basketball. Yes, it's been such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the White Sox, I think the most promising teams in Chicago would be the White Sox and then the Bulls. You know, the Bears. Yeah, we'll see. Only one game, and it's already looking rough. But the hockey. Who the heck knows what the Blackhawks do? The Cubs have hit the reset button, so. At least with the Bulls and their rebuild process, they've kind of should have hit that point now, finally, after all these moves, that they're able to, you know, finally start contending and hopefully get a playoff spot this year. So, Zach, before we dive into everything, as I always like to do, you hinted to you're a little bit busy. I know what you do. I know what keeps you busy, but take a moment to promote your stuff so everybody else could check out what you do and you know, understand why you're a busy guy, too.
Yeah, sometimes I think I do a little too much, but it keeps my passion for this stuff going. So that's why I like diversifying portfolio. For those of you that are curious as to what I talk about, it's football. My life is basically football. I follow all Chicago sports, but football in terms of a sport in the universe of sports is exactly what I do. So I got three shows that I'm currently working on the side. And I try and give as much effort to all three of them. Gridiron Gallery is the main one that is every week on Fridays that you can catch those on your favorite podcast platform. Currently, we also do two other football shows. One of them touches on arena and indoor football. That's Inside the Walls. That's currently on a bi-weekly schedule as of we're going to this fall and off season for the arena scene. And we are also doing a Japanese football show because Japan does actually have a very prominent American football league, the X League, out in that country. So we are currently doing that. I'm actually working with a buddy that's out in Chicago by the name of Greg James, who runs a CFL podcast himself, as well as a man out there in Japan himself that runs Inside Sports Japan, that I am currently, you know, I'm really liking it. I dig it. You know, that one's been a very fascinating project, I would say. It's John Gunning's his name, by the way, for those that need to know. But yeah, those podcasts, and then we're working with Unhinged Sports Network, which is now Unhinged Radio, powered by Belly Up Sports. So that's its own side piece of just a lot of craziness. I balance all this. I figure it out. It drives me mad sometimes, but in a good way. It drives me mad. You know.
Yeah, but no. I mean, honestly, I always check out your stuff. Always enjoy listening to it, and also you do inspire me too with the way you manage things and organize things. I mean, you're a perfect example of somebody that others out there that want to create content and things like that. So. On you with everything and keep it up. And yes, and I don't just say this because obviously you're my friend and then you helped me out with this podcast, but podcasting is such a oversaturated market. And the fact that, you know, I'm kind of just that wannabe talk about sports like every other podcast, but you trying to find those niche groups where it's, you know, talking about different football leagues and whatnot. It's, you know, you're doing something unique. You're doing something different. So
self-exploration too. When you do the niches, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that's nice is you find something you don't always know about, you know, the Japanese football one, that is, I have is it's the least amount of knowledge I have about any football. And that's been fascinating to get to learn that scene, especially I mentioned John Gunning. He really has kind of been like teaching me and Greg on the show. So if you jump on there, it's almost like John's filling you in on everything that he knows about Japanese culture and how football out there is portrayed. So it's a fascinating show because for me, I'm learning as I go. Every episode.
Yeah, and you learn something new. Even if you're not a huge football fan, you're learning about, you know, some Japanese culture and how an American popular American sport, you know, how it's going out there. So that's absolutely, you know, if you're ever just looking for something to listen to, even, yeah, that's, there's definitely some content there, even for those just with curious minds, even if you're not a diehard sports or football fan. But getting to this Bulls topic, Zach, you did hear me struggle to find the right adjectives that to label this offseason. So before we dive into these moves, do you have a word or an adjective that you would pick?
Relieved is what I'll say, because I think I can finally go into a Bulls season and actually feel like it's a playoff team that is going to be put on the court, rather than hearing, you know, Garpax or hearing like the Reinsdorfs, of course, talking about that, well, we expect playoffs. And then you see the roster at hand, you go, yeah, good luck with convincing me that that's what you're doing. They actually went out this offseason as well as in the trade market, really. And they put the pieces together where you can now say, yeah, this is pretty serious. They really do want to get back to some credibility, at least get a playoff berth, at least try and now, I feel, truly attract, you know, high profile free agents as the years go on. I mean, especially since they signed on all three of their main all-stars, and you actually want to include Alonzo Ball into this, they're all the multi-year deals right now. So the core that they have signed on to is going to be there for a while. So you don't know who else can come to Chicago, but there's attractive people that are in the NBA players community that you can say, all right, you know, you talk it up as the organization's turned a corner and it's Billy Donovan running the show. Yeah, sign me up. Why not? I'll come out there and play with you guys. I mean, that's what the NBA has turned into is, you know, I'll come play with you or my buddies, or I'll come and play with, you know, guys that I enjoy playing with or getting to know off the court. So this is what the Bulls did well, at least what, you know, Arturis Karnisovas and then Mark Eversley did, which I didn't realize they named him Acme as kind of like the Gar Pax equivalent, by the way, but that is hilarious. But they put together a team that you can now package as a advertisement to free agents and say, hey, you want to come play with now a legitimate team in a big market, top three in the U.S.? We got it for you. And we're legitimate now. We're a brand. We can now prove that brand is successful again. They just got to make the playoffs, which honestly, they should. The roster has the pieces to say this shouldn't be – there's no reason you miss the playoffs this season.
Yeah, and again, I feel like I say this every year, and you know, the East is kind of top heavy. We know Milwaukee, they just won the finals. They're really good. Yep. We know Brooklyn's got all that. They got the most well-known big three in the whole league at this point. But after that, you know, how many teams are really that much better than the Bulls at this point? I mean, obviously Atlanta's really good. They're up and coming. I mean, I know the Knicks had a very solid season, but I'd wager to say that this new Bulls team could probably carry their weight against New York. So, you know, it might be tough to crack the top three or top four, but I don't see how they don't, you know, they can't make the playoffs and land somewhere between the fifth seed and the eighth seed. I mean, again, the East is not that dangerous. I mean, it still seems like the West is kind of prolific, where there's at least four or five solid teams. I mean, LeBron's team never quits. You know, the Lakers, mm-hmm. you know, reset the table again, restacked as they always do, because, you know, they know they still have a chance with, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And I don't blame them. Get tired of it, but I don't blame them. But Zach, there's a lot of moves to talk about. But instead of me doing the classic, let the host steer us in the right direction, we'll start with what would you say is your favorite move? You know, was it DeRozan? Was it Lonzo Ball? Was it the draft pick, the Illinois point guard? You know, what is your favorite move that the Bulls made that you'd like to start this discussion off with?
Well, I thought it was the one that we were talking about, you know, previously before we moved on from Beyond the Press Box, which was I wanted Lonzo Ball on the Chicago Bulls, and I thought it was a good fit. You know, Coby White is not ready to take that role fully on. I didn't think that it was, you know, to the level of play that it needed to be, and there wasn't really depth there at the point guard spot past Coby White to where you're confident in that position. And you also needed more defensive presence as well, and someone that can provide shots when needed and is efficient at those. Enter Lonzo Ball, a player that, you know, early on his career was really knocked for his shooting, but was excellent at, of course, distributing and assisting those on the field, and also was not too bad a defender even early on. He's gotten much better as the years have gone by. And now this last year was his best shooting year ever. And I think that's only going to improve. You're going to bring in, of course, you have Nikola Vucevic, who is no slouch as a big man that can shoot from anywhere on the court. You know, Zach LaVine going to be fully healthy, of course, as well, and is going to be the driving force on this offense. And then you brought in DeMar DeRozan, who, as many of us know in the NBA community, is one of the best two-point shooters in the NBA. He has one of the smoothest shots from inside the arc and, you know, can kind of nickel and dime you wherever. So Lonzo was the package I felt that wraps this all together. You know, for all it's worth, the three that I just mentioned before Lonzo that are all-stars, mind you, not really defensively well known. Lonzo has a bit more of that you can provide, and he's great at distribution as well. They did a good job. They signed him to a contract that wasn't overly ridiculous, but I think was worth his value to where he has played so far. You get him for 4 years. That's enough time to have that core there, which all of them, with the exception of signing, of course, Zach LaVine, which you still got to give him that good extension there. But otherwise, you have a core that, A, you can convince Zach LaVine is going to be to bring him back. But B, again, you advertise to the rest of the NBA. You just mentioned the Lakers, for crying out loud. That's all teams want anymore, is you're advertising, like, where's the best place to play. I mean, Jesus, a lot of the reasons why some players went to the Lakers, like, say, DeAndre Jordan, is that, you know, they look at it as an attractive spot right now. Credit, it's LA. But, you know, I like Lonzo because it brings the entire thing together, and it also helps with your depth. Now Coby White can go beyond on as part of the bench mob. He can come on and be kind of a six man, help with more of an offensive spark, and he can develop behind Lonzo rather than be kind of thrown into the fire and really not fitting in well because he wasn't ready for that spot from day one. So it makes White, Coby, a great rotational piece, and it solidifies the offense and its distribution much better and slightly improves the defensive end. The Bulls are still kind of weak, I think, defensively in terms of their core starting roster, but it helps at least to where you have someone out there that is competent enough to kind of be good and aware in transition, or even, you know, on the arc, if you will.
Yeah, and I think the point guard position, Zach, is really the most intriguing area of this team right now because, yes, they trade for Lonzo Ball. They pick up Alex Caruso, who we know he's kind of a nice spark plug to come off the bench after what he did with L.A. It knows what it takes to win a championship now after playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis and that Lakers squad. And again, you can't help but enjoy the depth you have. And again, you know, sometimes these guards can play point guard, shooting guard, you know, whatever kind of offensive system, however they want to run and throw, you know, duos out there. So you love having that depth. And then also, you know, the Bulls were able to draft Illinois point guard, and I know I'm going to botch this, and I apologize. I've tried to practice, but Ayo Dosunmu. And, you know, look, I was surprised that he dropped to the second round, to be honest with you. I thought he was worth a first round look. Obviously the Bulls didn't really have a whole lot of draft stock, so being able to pick him up and draft and develop a young guy is great too. So in terms of this depth with having Ball, Caruso, and even picking up Dosunmu, how are you feeling about this point guard and or just guard position in general? Because again, these guys could play PG, these guys could play SG. How do you feel about having that restock at that position?
It's very versatile now at that spot. I really dig what the front office has done, at least in term when you talk with Eversley and, you know, Carson Kanernovas there, just how they have kind of revamped and made this a bench that has versatile pieces to come off. Really defensively minded, the bench is more set for that than, say, the starting five, at least what is the projected starting five. I actually really liked how they got Derek Jones in their trade for Lauri Markkanen coming back. He's been kind of a solid role position player, but defensively he's actually been pretty stout in terms of transition defense and in terms of, you know, kind of protecting on the outer, at least on the outer arc, for any of those that are at range. So does really well at those and is great off the bench for that. Alex Caruso was kind of a surprise, but I was happy the Bulls were able to get him again. Helps build a bench, which has been kind of weak. I mean, you know, little bit of tidbit here that I was surprised at just kind of looking up into the show, you know, Forbes, I'll give him credit here. Mr. Morton Jensen had a nice write up on the Bulls just for, and kind of talking about the optimism of the season. And one thing that, you know, you think about is kind of crazy that Chicago had this bench and the likes of Denzel Valentine, Chandler Hutchinson, Cristiano Felicio, and Ryan Arcidiagno, none of them are on a roster right now. So not to knock all of them, but it just kind of shows you what, in terms of the NBA's own recognition of where they could, these guys could fit in, how the Bulls were kind of just hanging on to pieces that I don't think entirely fit into the scheme that they were needing to get what they wanted out of them. And, you know, in terms of some of these pieces, like Diagono and Valentine, I always felt were kind of like a, you know, we respect you for our, for your contributions to the organization type of players. But I didn't think they were giving enough back to justify their position for another year. So obviously this revamp I think was coming, and yeah, I mean, I think that what they've done front office wise, you know, I love the additions, and there's a few more, like I said, it's defensive minded for the bench too. You know, you want to talk, for example, two players that come from the Toronto Raptors, you know, come to mind as well. What are their names here? I just had it up.
Go well, they figure. Have the John, those Johnson guys, right? Mm-hmm. That yes. are now going to be the bench mob.
Well, one from the Raptors, one from the Nets, but both of them are yeah. defensive minded rotational pieces as well. Elise Johnson's one of them, Elise Johnson's one of them. And then the other one, I'm totally spacing. There it is. Stanley Johnson. I knew it was. Hey, I think he spent
some time with the Pistons, Stanley Johnson.
Yes,
I believe.
Yes, yeah. Originally with the Pistons, and he's been kind of at stops, but both are defensive mind pieces. So I mean, I like these additions. Guard wise, though, the Bulls are very versatile now, and they've honestly helped their wing spot too, which I know you were keying in on over the course of last year. They're kind of weak at the wing. I was more on the point guard end of improving, but I know wing positions they've definitely got more at least weapons at those points now.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up DeMar DeRozan here in a moment, but to do the final touches on the point guard position, because again, now it gets intriguing. I mean, it's great that they have more depth and they brought in some more talent, but kind of makes you wonder about Coby White now. Now, to remind everybody out there, he got hurt earlier in the summer. He's recovering. However, at least the last we heard about an exact timetable for when he'll be back or what he's going to miss. I mean, he may miss some time in training camp. Who knows? He may even miss part of the season when it starts. There's no timetable for him to come back other than Karnisovas said that he's doing well. He's taking great strides in the rehab and the healing process, but again, might miss some time because of the injury. He's injured to begin with, you know, missing time, being injured to begin with is a tough thing to go into this year on top of Lonzo Ball, Ayo Dosunmu coming in, Alex Caruso coming in. And we've talked about this before, Zach, and all Bulls fans are talking about this. Coby White is a good player, but he hasn't taken the deep enough strides to really prove to us that he could be a star point guard and be the number one guy facilitating and leading this offense down the court right next to LaVine. With all these moves being made, and again, potentially him missing some time because of the injury, is it fair to say Coby White might be on the outside looking in at this point?
Well, I would think that he's going to have to be a little more concerned. Obviously, we know his role has changed. Again, you know, if you sign on Lonzo Ball, and you're going to be probably taking a step backwards right now, and you're going to be the backup point guard. So obviously, you're going to have to first realize your reduced role. Injuries, of course, it all depends. You know, who steps up in the absence, and how does a coaching staff obviously adapt to said absence? You know, we see this in any sport. You know, football wise, NBA. You know, even the MLB at times, you know, if someone shines and things are working, why change it? That's kind of a consistent coaching philosophy across sport. So, you know, yeah, I mean, if you miss some time, if you aren't able to get on the court in time, if you aren't able to show your impact or at least show that you've improved in areas that he needs to improve, again, defensively, that's one of the cases, you know, and also being a little more careful with the ball, with of course being in possession of the ball when you're on the court. Because I know at times last year that was an issue I had with him, was a little careless of one or two many times when he would be leading the offense. So, you know, yeah, I mean, there's opportunities for some players to take minutes away and possibly hurt his role. I think for him, and I know that I was surprised he didn't go anywhere this year in the offseason, just knowing how the front office is looking at the team, you know, and just saying we're going to start breaking it up and making our image right away. You know, I don't think they're done. You know, say they want to try and improve their seeding, he might still be a trade asset later on this season. You know, that's a complete possibility. Again, plenty of potential with him. You know, some teams might look at that as something that they could use or, again, help improve their bench. You know, and I wouldn't mind him staying as a good rotational piece or like a sixth man for Chicago. You know, that's in terms of Karnisovas and for Eversley. That's something I think it's got to be in the back of their mind is, you know, maybe we can get some value out of him or maybe even trade him for a piece that can help boost our playoff potential, you know, say later on come like February or March. I mean, that's got to be on the table. I think that's what he should be most concerned with. Otherwise, you know, just get back healthy and try and play the best you can with the minutes you're given because you already know you're going to get a reduced role. Lonzo Ball was brought in to basically take your role and solidify and clean up the offense and especially eliminate turnover woes too, because the Bulls were god awful last year in terms of keeping possessions themselves. Lonzo has been shown that he is much more careful with the ball and is one of the more collected and calm point guards in the NBA. He, you know, Kobe's going to have to give what he's taken, but I think he could be on a trading block for potential assets or even boosting playoff potential or chances for a better seed come early spring, that is.
More episodes of Windy City Sports Talk can be found on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast as well. We now return to Windy City Sports Talk.
Yeah, and yeah, that's actually a great point. I mean, if they really have a good season and they're on a roll and they really want to try pushing it, you have a young point guard who we question if he's reached his ceiling yet, but I think it's fair to say, like, if we went in the trade negotiations with the team and said, hey, look, this guy's explosive. He's fast. He could surprise you. He can shoot from all over the floor at times. There's still a bright spot with him. And this isn't like an injury that is going to, you know, this isn't an ACL injury. This isn't something that could, you know, totally derail his career. So if he truly is somebody that they are willing to part with, you have plenty of players at that guard position. And then, you know, the guy from Illinois could start being developed and maybe he's absolutely that guy if it's not, you know, going to be Coby White. So good point on that. I agree. Maybe he's an intriguing trade piece. If whether it's this season, during the season, at the deadline, maybe even next year after you see how this team, this new look Bulls team, you know, plays. Now let's go to the wing real quick. Let's talk about DeMar DeRozan. I'm thrilled for this move. He has always been one of my favorite players. Heck, when I was growing up and I'd played the 2K games, I would usually try to trade for him or something, do a fantasy draft with the Bulls, and I'd bring him on in the franchise mode in the 2K games. I've always admired the way he played. I mean, the ideal guy you want on the wing, you know, who could gather some boards, could get some assists, but primarily score. And that's something that the Bulls needed to do to help, you know, LaVine out, is get another guy that could score. I mean, Vucevic could score, but he's got to play some defense and get some rebounds. Lonzo Ball can get you maybe 15 points a game and facilitate the ball, but who's going to be that next guy that could get you probably 20, 25 points a game? Who else is going to average 20 plus points a game outside of Vucevic and outside of LaVine? I think that guy is DeMar DeRozan. Getting older, but even after Toronto traded him to the Spurs, played pretty well there. They weren't a great team, but I mean, Popovich and DeRozan, they were able to kind of keep that team somewhat relevant. They still got talked about. It's a team you still couldn't sleep on whenever you had a matchup against them. And also, he's got to be hungry for a title because that same season, right before the season, that upcoming season started in 2019 when they traded him. What did Toronto do after that? When, you know, they traded him for Kawhi, they won the title. That guy is probably hungry for a title. And again, the Bulls haven't won since Jordan. So I want to see LaVine. I want to see DeRozan. I want to see all these guys be motivated to get, they could be right. No one's ever going to take away Jordan or overstep him, but don't you want to be on Mount Rushmore of the Bulls right next to him? That's what LaVine could do. That's what DeRozan could do. That's what these guys could do. So I think DeRozan's the perfect fit to pair next to LaVine to have another really good scorer. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, they absolutely do. I said leading into this how much I love that DeRozan you know, they bring someone that is takes away at least the heat from Zach LaVine, because we know the offense in terms of scoring is going to run mostly through Zach LaVine. We've seen it the last 2 years. He's gotten better and better, and he's proven to the NBA that, you know, he's as versatile as a scorer as you can get. He is a threat every possession with the ball in his hand, or, you know, at least off the ball, if you give him, you know, the right setup, which Lonzo Ball was brought in, you know, to kind of assist with that a little bit too. So yeah, there is plenty of scoring potential. I've always loved DeMar DeRozan for his 2-point shot ability. He's almost automatic, it seems, anywhere inside the arc. You know, I mean, last year alone, shot almost 50% from the floor last year. I mean, that's pretty impressive alone for field goal percentage. You can't ask for too much better from anybody in this league for that percentage, you know, and still average 21 points a game. You know, at his age, you know, you're not expecting him to consistently hit that, but he is still capable of doing that for Chicago. And I think that you, again, look at people that are hungry for a championship. You just brought up how DeRozan, you know, he's almost gotten there a few times in Toronto. He was traded away to help Toronto get there. And, you know, he's played with, you know, with competitors that have gotten to the mountaintop, or have, he at least knows how, at least has gotten talked about it. You would think in San Antonio, you know, that being a once world caliber organization, still can be, just, you know, it's on the downswing. You know, DeRozan helps again more with the advertising for stars in off seasons ahead. And since DeRozan's still tied to the Bulls for several more years, now that he's traded over and, you know, did sign up an extension there, just, yeah, think about it. He's a hungry vet. He's going to be advertising like crazy to get people to come out there. You would hope that's the case. Obviously, he also helps too with retaining Zach LaVine. If it's like, hey, we had a great thing going this year, man, why give that up? I've seen how this goes. You don't want to walk away from the table right now, do you? You know, but yeah, I mean, just him being in a spot that the Chicago lacks so much in terms of somebody that, you know, can score from anywhere, mostly inside the arc, but still the fact that you have almost an automatic shooter as anybody from inside the arc like that, and that can slash in for a quick bucket, or can get a long two for you and sometimes pop up the occasional three and nail it. You gotta love it, you know, and it fills the wing position that was lacking last year, you know, and again, it just helps with taking off heat. You know, I mentioned mostly LaVine. Vucevic is going to have, of course, his own, since he's, you know, he's the center, so he's got to deal with most of the stuff underneath, not always underneath, because he can obviously shoot 40% from beyond the arc. But I mean, you want to be able to diversify your portfolio. That's what all super teams do really well, is that you can get somebody that can score from anywhere on the court and put multiple positions that can do that. DeMar just adds to that now, you know, and he's the definitive, I can get you 2 points from pretty much anywhere on the court, or anywhere inside the arc at any time if you need me, and I'm open for a bucket, you know, kind of like a safety valve for, you know, just some quick points to keep the scoring up. You know, really, you see more like LaVine, or even like, say, Lonzo Ball, Vucevic, they're more the guys that if you want to get a dagger from beyond the arc, they're your guys to target. But DeMar is the, like, solidified, I'm guaranteeing you 2 points almost automatically if you give him any chance to take a shot.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's important to point out, that just because the Bulls stacked up some talent and it does seem like they can win enough games to get to the playoffs, I don't expect them to beat Brooklyn. I don't expect them to if they off chance they made it all the way to the finals, I don't expect them to beat LA, but I also don't expect them to beat, again, Brooklyn and Milwaukee, those couple of cream of the crop teams that are going to be sitting atop the East that you're going to have to knock out to get to the finals. I don't think they're necessarily there yet. I mean, who knows? Maybe they really click. You know, they have to show me a lot for me to prove that they can upset a team like Brooklyn or upset a team like Milwaukee, but this is a step in the right direction. Start, you know, the best type of atmosphere to grow and groom young players is in a winning atmosphere. I don't believe in the tanking thing. You know, look at Philly. I mean, they've got a good team, but Philly had some up and down years. They've had to even get rid of some of those guys that they tanked for. It hasn't always worked out, and they're still looking for a championship. So right, the whole tanking thing and being a lackluster organization for 5, 6, 7 years, I don't believe in that. You don't have to do that. What the Bulls are doing is great. They have Coby White. They got the kid from Illinois now. They got a couple of younger guys that they could grow and develop while playing with star players like DeRozan and LaVine. And, you know, Lonzo Ball, yeah, he got hyped up in to be something that he's really not. but we now will grow. We've grown and appreciated the kind of game that he does provide, which is still a good thing on a team like this. So it's important to recognize that. And you and I do, Zach, I want people that are listening to realize that, that yes, DeRozan and Ball may not be the key to LaVine and them winning a championship, but now, you know, you got a new front office that's good and respectable. This team should be interesting to watch and be respectable and appreciated. Maybe that starts turning the heads of some guys that may be free agents here in the next couple of years. And I do hope LaVine is willing to stay. I know he keeps talking like, oh, the chip on my shoulder keeps getting bigger. Okay, Zach, they just redid the team for you. This is still your team, but they brought in help for you. So I hope he's being a little bit patient, because it's not like the Bulls don't – it's not like the Bears not wanting to pay Allen Robinson. It's not right. That deep. It's not that far. The Bulls are trying to build the team around him, and then they can look at the money and see how they could break down things. I truly think they will extend him. I'd be shocked, actually, if they don't. He just has to wait for the right time. And honestly, this year he has to prove, can he still put up those stats? Can he still play with these guys? Because look, a starting lineup of Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Nikola Vucevic, a lot of star power there. A lot of guys could score, facilitate the ball, get the rebounds and stuff. So I kind of wonder, can Zach LaVine even put up these same numbers? So kind of a two-part LaVine question for you here. Do you think he has the right to have the chip on his shoulder, or do you think he should take my approach and wait it out a little bit more? And also, do you truly think LaVine could replicate last season this year now that he has actual help?
Well, you know, I think anything is possible. And I, with the NBA becoming more of an offensive league every season, scoring keeps consistently going up. Defense is, it's less and less an emphasis for teams. It's more about out sprinting the opposition anymore. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the sky's the limit. And with the amount of scores, and honestly, the distributors too. I mean, Vucevic and DeRozan aren't slouches either with moving the ball around. Same Lonzo Ball, obviously, is the facilitator mainly. But, you know, you have three guys, you know, at least that can help facilitate scoring at any given time. I would think LaVine, you could possibly improve upon your 2020 numbers. It'd be hard to do because of how well, just how kind of bonkers it was, his year over year improvement was from 2019. But I think anything's possible with just the NBA in the way it's going. And I think also with the amount of stars, and again, you know, it all depends too. Like, are these guys, are you looking for guys that are more just trying to win, or are you trying to, are these guys going to be greedy? And right now I see this roster as a bunch of guys that are more just, hey, we just want to be on a successful roster and win. I mean, Vucevic and DeRozan are coming from situations that either they have been pretty much scraping the bottom of the barrel for most of their career in terms of Vucevic, or in DeRozan's case, he's come close and has just kind of like almost tasted glory, but into a chance of the finals, but has been kind of swiped away at it multiple times. So I don't see these guys as like a worrisome in terms of a super team where you're like, I need to make my points every night, 'cause you know, I got that sneaker deal. It's more about like, hey, I'm good, but, and I can score for you anytime. But like, if you're the guy to go around, if you're the person that we need to help the most and helps run the offense the best, we're going to get you that. And I think that's what you'll see the most out of these two. And Ball is just that way in general. You know, he's been, that's his role that he has developed into since he's joined the NBA, is he's just more, I facilitate, I'm good at defense, my shooting's improved, but that's not what I am at. So for LaVine, I think you should go your slow approach, Will. I think he can wait it out this year and then say, okay, well, you guys really did a lot for us. Like, say they finished sixth in the Eastern Conference, which I don't think is unobtainable. I think it's possible. I think at least seventh and eighth, they should be able to get sixth. Okay, maybe I'm pushing it, but hey, I think that's still pretty obtainable for the Bulls in terms of how the East is, you know, weak. It is a conference. It's very top heavy as a conference anyway. You know, and it takes somebody to step in there and say, hey, we upgraded, we can take a spot now. So the Bulls are very much in that hunt, say, take like a sixth, you know, and kind of bully somebody out, like, say, the Pacers, you know, that would probably be down there, I think, still. And, you know, you can probably say, hey, in terms of LaVine, like, all right, I waited it out. Maybe chemistry's good. Yeah, I like this team. Now let's go. I'll sign back on, and then let's see where we can do with the front office to, you know, maybe see if we can add somebody on there. You know, I will admit I have not looked at the free agent market for 2022 yet fully, but obviously LaVine's going to be a concern to get extended, and then we'll see what's available. But anything that allows the Bulls to get an improvement on this year and become basically Chicago's super team, because the NBA is all super teams anyway, then yeah, I think LaVine waits it out. I know the chip on the shoulder. I could see how that's the case since he's just kind of trudged through the mud with some mediocre squads in the final years of the Gar Pax era. But if I'm being honest, I think he can wait another year. If I'm assuming so, I would think he sees what they've done in such little time to say, we're trying to make this legitimate and trying to push for something. You've got time. And he's also still in his late 20s. So that's plenty of time to get, like, say, a Supermax deal or something like that and, you know, make it worth your while. You're still in your prime. So it's not like you're also rushing too much at the moment. I think he's moved on from his ACL woes that he had gotten during his trade from the Timberwolves going to Chicago. And he's in his prime. He's playing up to what people expected when he came out of the draft. He's now an all-star, you know, showed it last year. He's going to keep being an all-star, I think, after this year.
Yeah, knock on wood, Zach, but yeah, you know, that's a good point too. The ACL hasn't been an issue. I mean, he's not really injury prone now. I hope we don't jinx him here and he continues to stay healthy.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is a guy that's reliable After this podcast, this doesn't come up again. I shut my mouth.
We're knocking all the wood. Find all the wood in your house.
As much as I love Vucevic and DeRozan and Ball, LaVine runs the entire ship here in terms of scoring. We saw last year when he went down, you know, Vucevic, you know, he could do all he could, but that Bulls team tanked out of the playoff race because he wasn't there. So I don't care if DeRozan is even on here as well. LaVine's the key, no matter what. That is your LeBron James in this organization. You hope to God he does not go down at any given time.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll reiterate again, there's only a few teams in the East I'm afraid of, and that's Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and I'll even say Atlanta because we know Trae Young is probably the next coming of Steph Curry. 76ers, I'm a little worried about, but I tell you what, I have to see what they do with trade when they trade Ben Simmons. You know, I think they could actually get stronger if they trade him and get, you know, some solid reinforcements back in return. I don't think they're going to get a star player in return because that's not the kind of player that you're giving away. You know, Ben Simmons is not a star player. He's a solid player. He's intriguing. You could fit him in like you could fit in Alonzo Ball in a good situation, in a unique situation. But I don't see it being, you know, a trade that's going to really lift Philadelphia over the top. But, you know, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Atlanta, maybe Philly, you know, those are teams that it's a tough order for the Bulls to go up against. But I think the Bulls could hold their own against the Knicks. You know, Miami kind of peaked, you know, after, you know, the bubble run. You know, Boston, you don't know where they're going with new coaching staff and whatnot. Washington stayed relevant because of, you know, Bradley Beal. But the Bulls could handle that next year. The Pacers are kind of on their way down. Charlotte, I think the Bulls are better than Charlotte. So, again, I think the Bulls do make the playoffs. I don't think we give them absurd expectations this year, but I think you have to be a playoff team there. If they were in the West, I can understand it still being kind of tough, but in the East, you absolutely have to make the playoffs when you look at kind of the spread here with the rest of these teams. But Zach, somebody we need to talk about too is Lauri Markkanen. They did finally trade him. And in my opinion, they got good value in return for him. They got another solid bench guy that they could use in Derek Jones and a lottery protected first round pick from Portland. This was a three team trade, by the way. Markkanen did specifically go to the Cavaliers for a future second round pick in return for the Bulls. So I'm curious on your thoughts on Markkanen's tenure in Chicago ending finally. And were you okay with the trade that the Bulls made to get rid of him finally?
I was fine with it. I think the signs were there that he was going out the door. The developmental era of Chicago Bulls basketball, just kind of playing this wait and see game with lottery picks, you know, in terms of like, say, Michael Carter, and then you look at Lauri Markkanen, it was time. I think, you know, Karnisovas made it clear with the Vucevic trade that, you know, we're here to win now. We're done waiting around for, you know, results from players that we think have promise. And Markkanen may still have promise. I think he does, at least as, you know, in terms of a big perimeter shooter. I think it's there. It's just that it never seemed to fully grasp in Chicago the way that I think wanted him to develop. He might be a slow developing player like there are in the NBA. And I think that's what's going to happen in terms in Cleveland. And Cleveland is trying to build this, you know, similar to Chicago, this young nucleus of talent that, you know, maybe takes those big leaps. But for Chicago, they've been through that song and dance. It didn't work. And ownership kind of said enough is enough. And, you know, head front office also said, enough is enough. We need to start moving on. The league's passing us by, and we need to start getting relevant again. And I think Markkanen was just not in those plans because he didn't make the steps needed. And I kind of say his tenure was lukewarm because there were some flashes, but in the end of the day, it wasn't, I wouldn't call him a flop. There's definitely been worse lottery picks at that height in the NBA draft that have come out. But for Chicago, he didn't, for all the scoring prowess that was promised when he was drafted, I didn't see it really consistently at least facilitate in Chicago during his tenure. So this is fine. He also gets a deal and in this too. So he gets to stability going to Cleveland. It's not like we're just throwing him to the curb and he's going to have to find his way. So, you know, I guess from a fan perspective, I'm like, you know, nice that you get that bit. We'll get to see you a few times a year, you know, and we get something in return. I mentioned earlier, I like Derek Jones, defensive piece, good bench player that you get to add there. You know, we get some future protected picks coming back to us, you know, hey, you know, we'll see what Karnisovas and Eversley can do. Again, you're going to, especially since you've been doing some sign-in trades this offseason, you're going to need to build a little bit, you know, of young talent on the back end, you know, if you want to keep at least consistent success years later or keep building that behind. And to help make a championship roster, you have to have young depth behind some of the all-star talent that the Bulls have as well. So I liked what they did. You know, it's unfortunate, really. Truly unfortunate that Lauri Markkanen did not work out, because I could see the signs of someone that maybe would have been a special player for the Bulls and a headline piece for Chicago, but it just didn't. From injury woes to inconsistent scoring at times, or you can even blame the organization and just, you know, coaching manner as well. It just didn't work out. It's just as simple as that. The Bulls' priorities did not align with what Markkanen was at that point, and they took the right strides, I think, to at least secure what they could get out of it. And what Lauri Markkanen could say is probably the best case scenario for him coming out of a trade.
Yeah. I mean, look, I disappointed he didn't work out, but I tell you what, he got every ample opportunity. The reason why it didn't feel like it, and he may feel like that too, is because he was injured. He, you know, it's like it was difficult to get him to play in at least 72 games, you know, and I said this, you may even remember when this podcast was at sportstownchicago.com 2 years ago, is that, you know, last year and even the year before came down to, okay, LaVine and Markkanen are going to get the opportunities to prove, can they be the pillars, foundational pillars of this team going forward? LaVine took off. He stayed healthy. He stayed consistent. He was clutch. He was very productive. He was on fire last year. And even the year before, he was shown that promise. Markkanen, every once in a while, you'd have a decent game, or he would, you know, string along some consecutive games of playing. But it's either he was hurt and missed games, or when he played, he just disappeared. And it's like, oh, he got 13 points tonight. He got 15 points. He got 17 points. His rookie year, he was getting 25, 30 points, making 7, 8 three-pointers. I mean, and making these big shots, grabbing some rebounds, getting some double-doubles. And he's just been, he was on the downward spin since his rookie year. So if you can't stay healthy and you can't stay consistent, it's unfortunate, but you're not going to, you know, you're not going to really make a name for yourself in this league. You're not going to stick around. Now, is our buddy Yash excited to have him on the Cavs? Why not? Because, you know, Kevin Love has, you know, how much time left in his career. And again, maybe a fresh start is what he needs. So,
but right. Again, the Cavs are doing what the Bulls were just finishing up doing when Karnisovas came in, is that they're trying to make a young nucleus that, you know, and with enough experience and talent, it sparks something and it works. And, you know, Chicago did that experiment and they moved on. So Markkanen's basically stepping into that situation again, I think, except can he stay healthy and consistently grow? And, you know, I hope he does. It's disappointing it didn't work in Chicago, but in the case, and for him, I hope it works out.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Wish him the best of luck. Again, I'm excited to see what this Bulls team could do. Fingers crossed that they could, you know, get it together. But I think it's fair to say we're both thinking that they'll probably make the playoffs. You know, maybe no crazy expectations, but I think we're on the same page with that.
I think at least 7th and 8th seed are realistic. This isn't like saying a Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, 2019, we're gonna make the playoffs type of like roll your eyes moment. This is we expect them to make the playoffs with what you put on this roster. So 7th seed, I think, is You know, eighth seed is the bare minimum. Seventh, I think, is realistic. And to me, being the optimist, I say the Bulls could finish as a sixth seed in this conference here, and make it at least really a hell of a first round series for whoever they face at the top. Just offensively, they have the pieces to, you know, at least be frisky and give whoever the whoever they're playing come playoff time some hell.
Yes, I agree. Maybe that's it's going to be a active trade deadline for them too here coming, you know, in the middle of the season, which will be exciting. Yeah. It's nice to not always have to sell everybody, you know.
So right,
it's
right.
Good.
Buyer's market for Chicago.
Yes, the winds are changing in Chicago's favor in terms of basketball. Well, Zach, thank you so much for coming on. Of course, you know I'm going to give you that dreaded text one day saying, "Hey, you want to come on and talk about the Bears?" But we're happy.
Well, you think I like dread when I see these texts? I'm just like, oh no, great. If I have time, yeah, sweet. I'll jump on.
You know, I'm just tired of talking negatively about the Bears. You know, it's fun, I want
the Bulls.
Yes.
Possibilities coming up here in less than a month.
Yes.
Hope.
Yeah. Hope.
I don't know much.
Hope in all caps and all bold lettering there. But yes, so I appreciate you coming on. We'll get to it again. And before I let you go, I'll let you know one more time, share your platforms where people could find you and your content.
I'll just share the socials for this one here. So find Gridiron Gallery at Grid Gallery Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That is at Grid Gallery Pod. You can also follow Inside the Walls. That is In Walls Pod. That is on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, that is In Walls Pod. That is for indoor and arena football. And for the Japanese one, well, really Twitter right now, but eventually we'll get to the other ones. That is just Gridiron Japan. Again, just follow us at Gridiron Japan. Those are the three podcasts. And also, you know what? Follow Unhinged Radio. We got a 24/7 radio internet radio coverage of sports, pretty much sports podcasters from around the country, including what I and you are in, which is Unhinged Sports Network, which is Unhinged Radio Now, or Belly Up Sports Network, which is continuing to grow and doing some pretty cool stuff behind the scenes right now, guys. So, you know, Unhinged Radio is one of those little bits that they added on, and we're excited to be working with them. So check that out. Follow Unhinged Radio on your favorite social platforms. And, you know, it's live anytime. There, we never go off air.
Yes, check all that stuff out. I know I do. And of course, plug this podcast. You know where to find this on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm. Literally just Google this podcast, Windy City Sports Talk. You'll find it, like and subscribe. That, of course, always helps too, getting the outreach more and more. I thank everybody for, of course, listening as they always do. This podcast continues to grow, and I'm excited to see where it's been going. And there's a lot of great stuff to continue to talk about. So thanks again to you, Zach. Everybody out there, be sure to check out all of his great content. And of course, more great content coming from Windy City Sports Talk. Yes, we'll talk about the Bears. Don't worry, it'll come soon. So thanks for listening and be well.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. To find more great episodes, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Radio Public. Thanks again for listening and be well.